League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with Rockshore on Off the Ball.
Well, if Daniel Kelly won that header, you clip that and you save that in the Shelbourne folklore.
League of Ireland Late Night, live every Friday from 10 on Twitter Spaces.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
All right, you're very welcome along. It is Thursday. We're very excited because we've got a full house for you. Dermot Corrigan's going to join us at 9:05. We're going to look back on Real Betis' heroic first hour and then absolute collapse against Chelsea last night as they lost 4-1. Sligo play Kildare this weekend. Niall Murphy of Sligo and Kevin Feely of Kildare are going to join us to preview it. Two players that are playing the game this weekend, talking to the media in the week of the game. They're both going to be struck down by lightning. The gods of Gaelic football will smite them for. There's actually a Derry hurler in the papers today talking about Derry hurling match at the weekend as well. So I suspect that actually they're both going to play really well this weekend. Tommy Wall's going to join us at 8:05. We haven't had Tommy on for a while, so we'll talk to him about the structure of the season, about Limerick, obviously, about Cork, and whatever you're having yourself. If you want to get involved, 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number. Before all that, we say good morning, Cullum.
Hiya, Jack.
How are you?
Oh, good, yourself.
We say good morning, Rachel Sheehan. How are you?
I'm good, Jack. How are you?
And Arthur. Good morning.
Hi.
To you.
Hi. Morning.
Hey, will I do the papers first? Or do you want to talk about the mighty Chelsea?
Let's see what the papers are saying about the mighty Chelsea.
There's a few bits of this that you're like, okay, so the London Times, very boring, winners at last. I mean, as Mick McCarthy was pointing out last night, they've got a curiously brilliant European pedigree. Yeah. This is now, they've won everything.
But it's their first trophy since their last European win in 2021.
Yeah. Well, it's not that long ago, really, is it? And it was the Champions League the last time. So, I'll keep the Amorim stuff because it's so good. It's so, you think right now, there's no way that Man United could in any way insert themselves in. Look at Arthur. Look at him. He's already rolling his eyes, shifting uneasily, going, why are we talking about this shit? Well, we just have to.
The Europa League final was a week ago.
We just have to. I know, but they've done other things since.
Now he's in Malaysia.
Blues cruise. Chelsea batter Betis to seal their Euro clean sweep, which is, you know, one of those like nobody cares about the European clean sweep until someone's about to do it, and then they do it, and you're like, oh, so impressive. First Conference League winners, Euro, UEFA Cup, Europa. They haven't won the Europa League, have they?
Yeah.
They did, yeah.
So they won the UEFA Cup. They didn't win the UEFA Cup.
No.
Well, then it's not a clean sweep.
Cup Winners' Cup.
The UEFA Cup existed. That's bollocks.
But they did win it. It's just the same tournament.
It's not
rebranded.
It's a completely different. It's actually a better tournament then.
Is the Sam Maguire, is the All-Ireland silly All-Ireland?
The History Boys. Ah, don't be like that. The History Boys. Chelsea battle back to become first club to win all major European trophies. You get very angry about these things, Arthur. It's like a...
They never won the Fairs Cup.
Exactly. Then it's not a proper clean sweep. Blues blitz. Did football only start in... 1981, whenever they changed the Fairs to UEFA Cup. Blues blitz Betis. So they're all very boring. But this one is the one that I wanted to get to. The Palmer d'Or. Very niche, isn't it? Because they're an erudite, educated bunch in The Examiner. Does everybody get the reference?
That's a prestigious film.
Yeah.
Which
one?
Okay.
What is it? What is it?
Pandora.
Yeah, what do you get for it? Where is it?
It's not Cannes, is it?
It is, yeah. But what do you have to...
You have to do something to qualify.
You need to be the best director.
Put your entry in. Ah, it's a directing.
Yeah, so it's not... Normally, you know, if the best movie always goes, the producers swan up and pick it up, not the director who's sweated and toiled or the actors who actually made it. It's the producers who just found the money. They were like, oh, we'll get the money for this. And they take all the credit. But the Palme d'Or is the one that the directors want to win because it's actually for the director. So the Palmer d'Or, like... Oh,
yeah.
Don't underestimate the
wordplay also, Jar, is like best player in the world potentially.
Well, yeah, but that's bollocks too.
Absolutely.
I mean, he played really well last night against Betis.
He played well in the second half.
Yeah,
he did nothing in the first half. Chelsea did nothing in the first half, and then second half was like unbelievable. So we set up the two goals, which was class play. Joe Cole nearly lost his mind on TNT Sport. He said if Messi did it on this stage, we talk about it forever. Messi did in the Conference League final.
On this stage. They shouldn't be in the Conference League. We say it every year. West Ham shouldn't have been in the Conference League. Villa shouldn't have been in it last year and still going to win it.
Can I just say that both assists were really good? Like, you know, he made space for himself at the first one. Beautiful cross in. All Enzo had to do was head it. I think Adrian should have saved it, but he scored. And the second one was a beautiful turn off his man, like left him for dead. But I do think also it's because it's Cole Palmer, everyone's getting unbelievably excited about it because he's built a brand for himself. This is Cole Palmer. And he did two class things in a final. Everyone's getting even more excited. He's added 10% to himself because he has a brand.
Obviously, we'll never forget that he stole the celebration from Morgan Rogers. Rockin' Cole star, Palmer sparks, stunning turnaround, comeback kings, Palmer inspires second half Blues revival, and then rock, because it was in Rocklaw in Poland, rock stars, WROC. Hot Coal, hey, see what they did? Hot Coal inspires Blues to land Euro glory. So there, the headlines about that.
Does it make us care about Chelsea a bit more that they won this?
You.
I actually had Arthur's point in my mind when I was watching the game, being like, "Do I know this team? Like, can I get behind? Do I know these players? Right?" And then I was thinking, "Who's lifting the trophy for them?" It's like, "Oh yeah, it's Reece James. Reece James is their captain."
Yeah, I like Reece James.
He came on at half time from Malagusto, who was torn apart in that first half. Isco had a bit of a throwback performance, and then the boy who changed the game. They were 1-0 down when Jadon Sancho took to the field. 61st minute.
You're delighted.
I'm not saying it's directly involved, of course.
It's like an extra 20 million from Man United.
But what about that finish for the third goal? Did you see it? Curled into the far corner, Thierry Henry style. Beautiful finish there. You'd have loved it.
Is there not some extra money that Man United have to pay if you won a European trophy to the transfer fee?
I don't know about those stipulations. The number everyone knows, it's a £5 million penalty if Chelsea don't buy him. Do they buy him after that? I thought about it this time yesterday. I says, if Sancho scores 2, I did say, and Chelsea win the cup, then they're probably going to buy him. He came on and scored 1, not the decisive goal, but the third of 4 goals. Came on when they were 1-0 down. The game finished 4-1 to them. Is that enough for Chelsea to buy Jadon Sancho?
I don't know. I suspect they probably will buy him because they're...
He came on for Pedro Neto, who was fairly anonymous.
They're kind of mad. It's mad how Neto has not kicked on at all.
I thought Neto last season was one of the best players in the league for Wolves.
Yeah. I wonder, will Matthias Cunha be the same?
We get to talk to Dermot Carrigan about that, about Cunha, who... played for Atletico Madrid before Wolves.
We should mention Tyrone and Loud last night. Tyrone on the scoreboard hammered Loud and ran in goals at the end in the Dalata Hotel's under 20 All Ireland final. But it was the closest mullering you're ever going to see. Loud were brilliant in the first half, conceded 2 goals, and then got it back to 3 points at the start of the second half, having let the Tyrone lead out to 7 or 8, and then had 2 brilliant goal chances, one of which drops on the line. And a Tyrone defender just casually shepherds it away. And then the next chance they got, cannons off the crossbar, which would have made it a draw game.
Mm.
And then, unfortunately, for Loud, Tyrone got down the field and scored a lot of goals. But the quality of football on show was absolutely sensational.
Do you know, even on a sleepy Wednesday night, dreary, stuffy day, right, where I thought, well, at least we can watch one game now. You know, the football is on the Conference League final. Even this got in the way. So you got very excited about this in the WhatsApp group.
It was brilliant. It was,
and like, your excitement football, won me over.
The quality of football on display. Well, compared to the Sturgeon stuff.
Well, this was like towards the end of the first half of the Conference League final, there was nothing happening really. Betis were kind of controlling the game. And so I flicked over for 5 minutes to watch this. It was end to end. And the quality was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Crossbars were smacked. Balls were cleared off the line.
The two goalkeepers could kick the ball Sean Patton distances. And they're like obviously 18 or 19, maybe just turned 20.
How difficult is it to transition to seniors? Like, you know, are we talking about, are we looking at two sides that are like, these are going to be serious contenders in 5 years' time?
Well,
or
Tyrone,
is it a massive, massive jump?
Tyrone have won 3 of the last 4 now. So they have a throughput of players. And there's already some of that crowd who were playing for the seniors over the course of the winter. So,
McElhone came on against Donegal.
Yeah, and they were concerned. So he was the centre forward, right? Am I mixing this up?
You're right.
He was absolutely brilliant, but he wasn't even man of the match. The right corner forward who scored the 2 goals, 2 beautiful goals, 2 like jinky soccer goals. He was also kicking points off a sweet left foot. So anyway, Tyrone, it's going to be Tyrone's world and we're all going to be living it in the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel, you're like a hurling stock as opposed to football Cork stock. Is that fair? Or a bit of both?
A bit of both, yeah.
But would lean hurling?
Would lean hurling, yeah. Football more underage.
I think curling people should be concerned. Arthur will refuse to listen to a word of this argument, but I'm hoping that maybe I'm finding a more sympathetic ear with you. Curling should be concerned. Football's taken over. Football's good again.
Football's great
for
again.
Like 3 decades. Football had been shite and curling was good, and curling people were like safe in their ivory towers about the fact that, well, sure, look, everybody knows we've got the best sports. That's changed.
No. Hurling's still great. It's not like hurling's gone bad. Yeah, football's getting good, which is brilliant, but hurling isn't going anywhere.
It's really swamped, though.
It's good, you know. Rising tide raises all boats, Ger.
Does it?
But like,
does a rising tide not actually drown everybody else?
No.
That's what happens.
Cork could get a bit bitter at football, we'd be laughing, you know?
I think the reason why I genuinely don't think it matters is the counties that you're talking about. It's like, how many people will turn up to Cork Kerry this weekend?
I mean, very few.
Very, very few.
Well, maybe.
And 10,000. Every Cork game in Ireland is sell out, more or less.
Well, not always, right?
Well, it was against.
But again, now this
well, yeah, that's what I mean. But that's, like, so, I mean, but that's progress, surely. That's not a negative. That's not hurling in decline. Same thing will happen again. There was, what was it last, whatever last week, like.
How many
1,500 go to Clare down in the football? 20,000 are there the week before for Clare Tip.
How many big games are left in hurling this year?
Well, again, that's just a matter of it's unfortunate. Like, you can't.
No, just ask. I'm going to be like one of the games. Assholes
there's five.
Just answer the question. It's a simple question. How many big weekends are left in there? Come on.
There's maximum.
I don't
minimum.
Your smirk. Did
you minimum see three.
Oh my god.
Minimum three, possibly four, five massive games
left. And so we're here the 29th of May. How many games? Five games left.
Five massive games, but like could be good games as well, supplementary to that.
Would you not like more?
But sure, we've had loads. We've been going since April.
Well, it's only May.
But sure, what?
It's only May. Like, it's like this.
Want,
like, we've had a nice weekend. We had a little mini retirement, as Gary Neville would put it. A weekend away. A mini retirement.
It's trolling. This is trolling.
I'm not. Like, honestly, there is the bones of a good conversation to be had around the fact that the hurling season is one massive, short, sharp shock. It's like March Madness for college basketball, where everybody pays attention. Then they go back around their lives, unmolested by the fact that this massive thing has happened.
Is that what makes it so good, though? That it is so short-lived? If it was spread out, if we had more matches, would it be as exciting?
I mean, I think that any time Clare and Limerick and Cork are playing each other at the moment, over the last number of years, they've proven that that is as good as sport gets. And I'd love to see it. Like, I'd love to see it. I'd love those league games that they play to actually have the best teams available to them out, as opposed to reminding people for the one match that really is kind of do or die.
Can I ask you this in contrast, right? What's the football equivalent this year? What games would you want to see?
But I think the problem with football is it's been fixed. Like, and so the complaints about the next year, we're going back to a weird new system that is going to have no round robin for the All-Ireland series, and we're going to have fewer games. This year, nobody's complained about, there's no jeopardy, because actually Cavan beat Mayo. And that was a massive shock. You don't get the equivalent of Cavan beating Mayo in the hurling, do you?
Oh, well, I...
A Division 2 team beating a Division 1 team, really. Like, there is, so,
well, you're it's okay, so, if, yeah.
In a game that isn't a dead rubber.
It's uncommon. It's uncommon because there's a shallowness of talented teams, but changing the schedule won't fix that. Insofar as the exact same way as changing the schedule and the format in the football isn't going to bring, like, we have Kevin Feely on today, Kildare played Leitrim earlier in the summer. I think it was 36 points to 11.
Yeah, but that's secondary competition.
Yeah, but that's
Arthur.
Secondary. That's the
secondary competition in hurling is of interest this year because Kildare are going to hopefully win it for the first time and get promoted. But it is an outlier.
But what I will say to you is, I appreciate it's easy to say that, oh, football's, it's all going the right direction. The fact of the matter is that the Tailteann Cup, you can more or less, no more than a conference league, you can forecast the 1, 2, 3 counties who are going to be in the final of that,
okay,
right?
But
that's half the country.
18th and 19th.
That's half the country.
Yes, but everybody wants to see the other 16 teams.
But everyone,
15 of the other 16 teams play.
Okay, so if we're saying then with the elite part of it, in the elite part of football versus the elite part of hurling, so the top 16 and the top 8 or 10 from the hurling point of view.
Six.
More
seven.
People are watching the hurling finals when they're on, the semi-finals. You look through the TV rankings last year, more people are watching it.
See, though, I'm telling you, I'm pointing out that the trend is going the opposite direction and that hurling will be swamped for the next 5-6 weeks and that all of the attention that we've had for Munster will be gone. And there's no Shane O'Donnell, there's no Clare. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to be cutting off the All-Ireland champions this early and saying, right, lads, sorry, you had some injury problems and you're gone.
To Rachel's point there, do you think if it was more spread out, if everything else was the same, but we just took a bit more time, that it would be unaffected?
I think I think now that you have not just one team who's going to kill everybody like you did when it was Kilkenny, at least Tipperary were there. I do think that it would be better if it was spread out because there'd be more opportunity to talk about these things. Like,
but it wouldn't kill the momentum, you think?
I think the momentum would build because everybody would be talking about it for 2 weeks instead of 3 days. You're going
that's
from
a different question though.
Well, sorry.
If you're like spreading it out, grand, we can all get on board with spreading it out, but not that's not changing the format.
I think that a conversation needs to be had about both. Like, and I have to have an open mind.
I know
the hurting people do not want that open mind. No,
no, but you're looking at this. You're it's almost ignoring the fact that like there's more games. I'd safely say, given the sheer number of games, there's been nothing like the summer that's just gone in terms of sellouts for Munster Championship games.
Yeah, and would you have the likes of Shane O'Donnell coming back so soon if he was guaranteed another couple of games?
Yeah.
You say you're resting players.
He sits
for the
out
league.
The Munster Championship.
Is that what happens in the Munster Championship?
Then
Nicky Quaid, is he coming back as early if he's got a guaranteed 4 or 5 extra games?
I mean, I don't know. Like, but if he comes back and isn't fit and then gets injured again, is it good that he rushed back? I'm not sure. I do think that there's a chance that over the next few years, while we had this golden age of hurling, there's a complacency. All the great empires begin to fail when they get complacent and they're at their peak.
Where's the evidence of it?
Where's the evidence of what?
Of their failing, of a decline.
Because the football has taken over. The football has got good and football has been shit for 20 years.
More people are going to the hurling games than
this year, Arthur. And we'll see like, at the end of the year what it looks like.
I don't understand.
Okay.
It's like, it's just...
No one cares about the provincial football championships, right? Generally, except Ulster sellouts all over the place, essentially, right? Which is the equivalent of the Munster thing, only slightly smaller counties. The smaller population bases. Let's wait and see what happens now as things kick into overdrive when counties like Cavan begin to dream of doing something magical. No one from Cavan apparently went to Mayo thinking, sure, what's the point? Let's wait and see what the crowd is like for the Cavan game this weekend if the Cavan people show up. Football has been dead. It's been revitalised, right? And you're like, oh, it's no big deal. It's the first season. This is literally the first season football has been good.
Well, then you have to ask yourself with the same sort of open-mindedness, is the result of the new rules has caused a slight jink in the matrix here and it will actually return to normal and realistically Dublin win the Leinster Championship next year. And
I just told you, no one cares about any of those provincial championships.
But all of a
right?
sudden, one of your biggest...
The All-Ireland series is the thing.
All of a sudden, one of the biggest things of the whole year, which will be Loud Meath in the Leinster final, that's gone. So there's kind of one of your big centre points in football's back. Like, it mattered to Loud people.
Yeah, okay.
It mattered to Meath people. It's just like, but, I don't know what as you mean, like... It's like you're going
hang on a second. You're using the massive crowds in Munster as like, oh, this is incredible, and then you're using the massive crowd in Leinster as like an argument against it.
No, I don't know what your reference is for where it's grown. What else is it if not crowds?
The games are brilliant. The under-20s and the minor matches have been absolutely brilliant. They've been the best things on TV over the last couple of weeks.
Have you been watching the hurling under-20s?
I haven't seen much of the hurling under-20s. But were they not a bunch of blowouts?
No. Like Limerick beat Tipperary the first thing. I think Tipperary were something like 9 or 12, or Limerick were like 9. It was outrageous odds. It was double figure to one
okay,
odds.
Well, that season's not over. Let's wait and see what they do. But my point is that all the football is good, and it's good in many counties. Offaly are good. Kildare have hope in the future. Like, there's a broad sway of the people. Anyway, we should move on. We got sidetracked here.
We ignore the fact that Kildare kicked the shit out of Leitrim and bet them by 25
this
points.
It's a competition. Every single hurling, every single... Secondary competition and third competition. Cavan hurlers got absolutely annihilated by New York last week, right?
Monaghan.
Cavan haven't been annihilated yet. That's going to happen this weekend. Sorry. I'm presupposing what's going to happen there. And like, oh, hurling is fixed. But go on.
What a sad state of affairs this is.
I just don't understand.
I'm watching here this morning. Look what GA does to this country. Look what it does to its people. You know, this is supposed to be joyous and it's tearing us apart.
Well,
this is our sporting civil war. This is 1922. This is like, look, like no one's happy here and everyone's delighted at the same time. You're telling me, Gerard, creative football is amazing. Arthur, you live for the hurling. And then Declan Lee's telling me here in the Irish Independent this morning, Gavin the man to sort out GAA's waning popularity and a split season logjam. Too many games happening too quickly and the TV viewership figures show that. Sport is down. People don't understand which to discriminate against. What match should I watch? What shouldn't I watch? The Kerry-Roscommon game there last weekend, there was like 6,000 people at it and the weather was unbelievable. And James Donoghue said in the football pod, it was like, well, the weather was class, so maybe people didn't bother. Is that just to say if the weather was bad, people would go? You know, there's a lot happening. People are having to pick and choose what they do. I feel like GAA is in a great place. We're talking about the Munster Championship. We're on about who's going to get out of it. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we were very excited about who the hell is going to get out because Waterford were looking good and Clare were coming back. And it was like, this is unbelievable. Who's going to get out? The new rules of Gaelic football have completely revitalised the thing and the energy levels about who's going to win. Like, there's no clear definitive favourite for the All-Ireland Football Championship, which is great. That wasn't the case a few years ago. And yet at the same time, people are like, this doesn't feel right. This is all happening way too quickly. It's all over before we know it. And you know what happens then? You have a debate like this morning. These are the good times.
I think
what's going to happen when it gets bad?
For the record, I think both are great. I think it's. I've never enjoyed both more.
What are you actually fighting about this morning? I think you bought last track there.
I think that hurling
talking about hurling's decline.
I didn't say it was declining, right?
What is it then?
All right, let's not go back over it. 20 minutes. But this is just circular. You were supposed to rescue it instead of reopening it.
Well, what do you want to do? There's loads here, lads. There's absolutely loads. We have a very special video to play for you right now in as we talk here. This is the Manchester United open top tour bus in Malaysia, and the video recorder is laughing on behalf of the world. For the people not watching, Joshua Zirsky's in the front. I think Matthias De Ligt is there, and there's a few other players. And let's just say it's a very modest crowd as the bus. It could be literally a tourist bus of people on a Manchester United sponsored bus.
How did they select who got to go on the bus? Was it punishment?
I think it was the other. I think it was good behaviour. I'd say you didn't bother. You didn't have to train. I'd say if you're on.
Garnacho
the bus.
Didn't. He wasn't there.
So like someone in the comments here on YouTube, you know, it's all kicking off on YouTube this morning. It's great to see. So people are like, oh, nobody cares about Man United. Well, I'll tell you what, right? Manchester United's post-season tour that nobody should care about at all is covered quite extensively in the newspapers this morning. People still want to talk about United. And you know why? They lost yesterday to an All-Star 11. They had a fairly strong team out in paper, I was looking at it. And their manager, Ruben Amorim, has come out and said, yeah, maybe they should get booed a bit more. Because they got booed at the full-time whistle. And he said, actually, would do us no harm. We get too much support at Old Trafford. This is the club that keeps on giving. Arthur was saying there, the Europa League final just a week earlier. They played Aston Villa in between. These lads must be sick shit of each other. I mean, they must hate each other. This is like going on, you're leaving Cert Holiday, like, and you know, you've booked it for too long. It's 2 weeks. And by day 12, you're like, this guy opens a newspaper. He just can't even stand the way the sound of the newspaper. It's like, I hate this. And then a week later, you're all friends again. It was like, they must loathe each other. This is drama at its finest. Who'd you support?
Liverpool.
You see, you're all smug. Liverpool fans this year. But it's fantastic because Matthias Cunha is going to go. I don't know what he's doing with himself. I don't know why he thinks he's going to be the guy who's going to fix it. But this happens repeatedly over the last decade. Players go to Old Trafford. The other one we're hearing about is Delap. And then after that, it's going to be loads of players leaving.
Ticket prices were €50, €62, €103 and €207 to go and watch Man United shit the bed against a Malaysian All-Star team.
So a Munster final ticket could have cost the same as the United postseason friendly.
At least something on the line. Will there be booing?
Well, that's what I mean. Now, look, people could rightly say, what are these lads talking about United for again? They're on the news. They're covered in the papers this morning because of how the last 24 hours has gone for them. It's just another addition. Like that's going to be added to the montage of hilarity over the last decade, that open top tour bus. Look at the Spurs one a week ago. This day last week when Spurs went around London and Andrew's talking about season two into season three. That's what United did a week later.
I feel always guilty, said Ruben Amorim in the aftermath of the game. I am always guilty of the performance of the team, no matter. And since I am here in the first day, I am guilty. Then the boos from the fans. I think it's something that we need. Maybe because every game that we lost in the Premier League, they were always there cheering us. So it's actually the fans' fault. If the home fans had started booing like Real Madrid fans would have, perhaps that would have increased the performance of Manchester United. So it's like the way of playing. If they see that it's not working, they will change the way they behave. But I felt then when we finished and we walk away, like every time, the supporters were with us. Let's wait for the next season.
It's like my expectation of this tour, right? And I thought I can at least predict what's going to happen here. Nothing's really going to happen in a tour. We'll look at the live score updates. Like, oh, they won 2-0, they drew 2-2, and it's grand. But somehow there are storylines from this. Like Alejandro Garnacho yawning in the face of a fan as he's signing the jersey.
It's jet-lagged. Come on.
Sunglasses in the hotel room, walking down the corridor. They ask him to stop. He just keeps on going. He's mentally checked out. He's gone. This is a toxic workplace environment played out for the world to see.
But they're making 8 million quid from this tour, so happy days.
I think.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
What is 10 million to a club in that financial peril?
They were going to go bust, according to Big Sir Jim, who's genius capitalist, so couldn't surely be gone bust, Man United.
And yet Aston Villa lasted him. How does that make you feel? Watching that open to a bus parade and then going back to last Sunday. How does that happen?
And the Sun having no alternative, Sean, and the nothing new.
That's unbelievable. What do you want to do next? I have a quiz question. I can do it a bit later if you want. We can do something else. I don't mind.
Rachel, you've got three things for us to watch this weekend.
Do that.
I do, yeah. Kicking off with golf. Said I'd diversify it, so I'm not always talking about hurling, sure. You know. Leona Maguire is out in major action this weekend in the US Women's Open Championship. $12 million, biggest pot so far in history for a women's championship. It's on in Erin Hills in Wisconsin. Might ring some bells from Brooks Koepka winning his first major there in 2017. Leona coming off the back of back-to-back missed cuts the last 2 weeks, but they are the first cuts she's missed all year. She's made 11 so far in 2025. So she's going in slightly under the radar.
She could do with a bit of form.
She could do with a bit of form. Even making the cut, I think, this weekend will be great. We're top. She finished 8th in 2022 in this championship. So getting a good performance. It's a tough track. You know, you were saying you were taking a look at the course yesterday. It's a very tough track. Suits long drivers, which...
Watching a bit of the coverage and they were saying it's going to be a course for the bombers. And I'm just checking there. Leona's world ranking has fallen to 80th. So she could definitely do with a performance.
Yeah, absolutely. To get it on a major stage as well would be brilliant. No, she'd be the first Irish woman to win a major as well. So no pressure there, Leona. All eyes will be on you. And we move on to soccer for a second one to watch. Ireland are playing Turkey tomorrow night. It's on in Istanbul. Kick off at 6 p.m. Irish time. So they have two matches left in their League of Nations. So we've got Turkey tomorrow night and then Slovenia on Tuesday in Perkiquiv. Myself and Kathleen will be at that match. Ireland really want to be winning these two to get automatic promotion to League A next year, which will really help in their 2027 World Cup qualifying.
Obviously, our record at Perkiquiv is phenomenal.
Yes, yeah.
Smashed France there.
Yeah, yeah, home crowd.
Do we have any sign yet of ticket numbers or is there any sense of what the numbers are going to be like?
No.
I haven't heard anything about it yet.
Looks good for soccer though, Perkiquiv.
It does.
They should play more. There's a friendly also in the summer, Celtic against, I think it's Cork City.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this game tomorrow would be interesting. The game against Turkey, we should win. We beat them 1-0 in the first game, but it wasn't a great performance. Turkey nearly equalised, and that was in Dublin.
Yeah, we should be winning this.
So next Tuesday is the one.
Next Tuesday is the
That's
one.
That's at home to Slovenia. That's the one you're going to cover.
Yes.
And Slovenia hammered us 4-0.
4-0.
That was the one that shocked us.
Slovenia have Greece as well tomorrow, which they'll probably beat. Greece are bottom of the pile. They haven't won a match yet. We have Katie McCabe coming back into the squad.
I saw that she got Guard of Honour.
Guard of Honour, a couple of bottles of water thrown at her. Ease the hangover. So hopefully she'll have recovered from the Champions League win. Big match tomorrow, but the bigger one on Tuesday. Even if Ireland do finish second in the group, we still have a chance of qualifying through a playoff with the third place finishers in Group A. But you'd be hoping to get it done automatically.
Yeah, they're two big games. Like, they need to win because the momentum feels like it's gone out a bit of it with that Slovenia game, just completely kill it stone dead. But that was a talking point of, okay, they need to get their act together. It was actually probably even the Turkey performance, that result was a bit worrying to start with. I know it's a brand new era, Ciara Grant and all that. She's trying out new things. But it was a shock to the system, the result, but it still kind of feels like it hasn't really got going yet.
No, and even if you're looking back as far as like that defeat to Wales in December to lose out qualifying for the Euros this year. They haven't had a real momentum builder since then.
Well, I was like, that's what I think what we're getting. I think Ciara Grant's even said it herself that there was definitely a flatness after that Wales game in Dublin because that was a killer. Look, like, that was going to bring us to another major tournament. You're half an hour away from it. But I'm surprised at the length of the hangover from it, that there still seems to be a flatness. I would have thought new year, new start to get back. But look, maybe these next two games will be the changing point.
Yeah, onwards and upwards will be looking. So 6 p.m. Irish time throw in tomorrow. Ireland and Istanbul. And finally, we've got the round two of the Camogie Championship. No big surprises last week in round one. Cork and Kilkenny came away with massive scores and Galway and Clare got through with tough battles. Galway are travelling to Derry this week, so that should be a Galway win, pretty comprehensive. Derry suffered a very heavy loss to Kilkenny at the weekend. Limerick are hosting Wexford. This will be a crucial match for both of those. Losing their first round matches it's probably more of a relegation playoff already between those two, with Cork in that group. So that'll be, whoever loses that match would be very, very in trouble of relegation. And we have Cork playing Tip in the Rag. Haven't seen Tip since the Munster semi-final. Cork had a 6.25-5 point thrashing of Limerick. Geez.
Right.
Yeah, I was at that. It was all over after about 6 or 7 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, you'd Clodagh Finn and Orla Cahalan both scoring 2-3, 2-4. Amy O'Connor getting 1-6. Like, that inside forward line is just trouble.
Yeah.
So Tip, very hard to beat Tip in the Rag. You know, we haven't seen them since Munster Championship, so Cork won't have learned anything from that match against Limerick. Other than that, they beat a team that they should have been beating.
Yeah. Give us a quick power rankings.
Cork 1, Galway 2, Kilkenny 3.
Right.
Waterford 4.
And are we kind of just waiting until All-Ireland semi-final point to see those big games? They'll obviously have to play each other at some point.
Yeah, well, no, we've got Kilkenny and Waterford this weekend, so that should be a cracker. They're actually playing in before the under-20 All-Ireland final in Nolan Park, so that kicks off at 11:30. They drew last year when they played each other in Championship. Waterford had a bye last week, so they haven't played since Munster semi-final either. Kilkenny had obviously a good win over Derry last weekend, but again, won't have learned much from it, so that'll be the match of the weekend, I think, Wexford or Waterford and Kilkenny.
Okay. All right. Rachel, good stuff. It's a minute past 8. A reminder, Off the Ball Breakfast is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
It's time for the return of Who Gets It First?
Who Gets It First?
Great to have everyone back. Hope everyone enjoyed their holiday from this game. But YouTube, do wake up now because you're on, right? It is YouTube versus Jer and Arthur and Rachel here. The three-person team versus the rest of the world. It's 9-7 to YouTube. If YouTube win this, that's,
I mean, who's
that's
the first round. Here?
Me. I kept it. I have a log at home. I cover everything. A bit different today, guys. Hope you don't mind me mixing it up.
Do you have a little Excel
sheet? I love this. I actually brought this round into the Off the Ball lexicon. I actually created this round for the Off the Ball overall quiz. So I'm going to bring it back home here. But this actually was inspired by our dear colleague, Matthew Brennan, who came up with this one.
Just explain that bit again. Sorry.
I will, yeah. Sorry, no problem. I say a list of clubs.
The crappy quiz.
From start to finish.
You don't go on the crappy quiz.
I know, but I created this round because there was one time you and I and Mick and Nathan recorded something like that. I have a round for you here. I'm going to name a list of clubs and you have to guess the player based on the clubs. All and right. I got incorporated into the crappy quiz. No, it was very welcome.
Sorry, we didn't talk about Peeling Kelleher and his move, but we did that in a few minutes. All right, go on.
Okay. So, you two, hope you're ready there. This player started their professional senior career with Leicester City.
So, sorry, we're just guessing who it is.
Guessing who it is?
Damien Delaney.
Not Damien Delaney, no. It's tough after, you know, just one club. But if you got it, it's amazing.
Gary
from YouTube. So, after a number of years at Leicester, this pair, and I think you're going to get this very quickly. I really do think you're going to get this very fast. YouTube, on the buzzer. From Leicester, this player went to Liverpool.
Emil Heskey.
There you go. That was good.
Oh, they nearly got it.
No, they didn't.
Well, they just tried at least, you know, yeah. What are we going to do about the flatness after everyone gets the answer? What are we going to do about that?
Yeah.
They're very much like, okay, you know, that needs to be worked on. Could you get more
you need the Ryanair trumpets. That's what you need.
Could you get, well, you have the noises. And Mark Dunning came in with Heskey. He could have had a delayed feed. So that was enjoyable. And I also would like to give a special shout out, guys, if you bear with me. Do you remember yesterday at the top of the show, I was like, I need a game of football?
Yeah.
And then, you remember this?
Yeah.
You remember this?
You were saying, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. I'm reading.
And I was like, anyone there have a game of football going? Thank you, Ronan Costlow, who emailed me yesterday after my shout out saying there's a game of ball going in Cabra on Monday nights. So there's a lot to think about there, a lot to chew over. And I very much appreciate the offer of the five-a-side. It's nice, like, you know, we called it out yesterday and people came back.
See what else you can get.
Oh yeah,
he's putting up. He's putting up to you there, Ronan. You know,
Ronan's good. He's giving you what he's got.
No, like
someone else.
Sides of meat. You know,
we get something.
A leg of a horse.
Ronan went out of his way to email me. You know, just for context. I do want to give context in case anyone missed this.
How did you work out your email address?
I was dying.
I'd like to give out your mobile number.
I was dying for a game of football on the north side. Still am, and Ronan came to the fore straight away with a suggestion.
Colm's number here, and not accidentally.
So you'll be going, yeah.
It's definitely, it's 086, definitely something to think
865. Look at me, he's very worried.
I'm laughing at your colleague. Did you hear what you said? Yeah.
What did you say?
I think he'll be going. It sounds like you're in.
There's a lot of good options there.
RC up on his offer.
You said I'm not going because it's on too late.
You'd be tired on those Tuesday mornings.
No, I never said that. I never said that.
All right, sorry.
I never said that.
Sorry.
Nervous you learned this
form now. I never said that.
You're just trying to get a better offer.
But I tell you what though, to Ronan actually, who doesn't know this, I got onto Keith Tracy on the back of this, being like, would that be good enough for you? And he was like, going into a game blind, very risky.
For him?
Very risky. He said he doesn't know the people, doesn't know the standard. Very risky.
He's the shark.
Is he worried it'll be too good or too bad?
Yeah, well, I think Keith Tracy feels like there's a level of expectation on him in his status, and he needs to live up to this. And maybe he fears that he won't be on the player. He wants a sample, basically, just what I'm trying to tell you.
Fair enough. Send us some video and the lads will rate you out of 10 if you want. Swipe left, swipe right to see if you're going to go or not. Keith Murphy says, Man United going through Kuala Lumpur on an open top bus with no crowds when they should be on holiday is wonderful. Are they dancing for money now? Yes, they are private dancers.